When Esau and Jacob were in the same womb, in the book of Genesis, the hostilities have begun. Genesis, let's trace it back, the book of Genesis. And the place we are taking from is in chapter 26. Chapter 25, that's right. In verse 21-22. Genesis 25, verse 21 and 22. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, who is Rebekah, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her. So in the womb, the baby Edomites and the baby Israelites were already fighting. Just two. Poor Rebecca, as she was walking, boom, go this way, boom, go this way, boom, go this way. And definitely it did not make that pregnant state easier. Right? It was bad enough being, having the discomforts of carrying two children in a womb. And I don't know how those two managed to fight. According to scientific analysis, even twins are separated by a thin membrane. Right? I mean, no, if a person has twins or triplets or quadruplets, each baby is separated by a membrane. You can see how eager they are to fight. Even within the membrane also. Poor Rebecca. As they fight within, looking at each other through the membrane. Struggling. I don't know how the men should grab each other. Right? Because the thin membrane surrounds each child. And they are already fighting, struggling. Every night. Every day. 9 months. Verse 22. The children struggled together within her. And she said, you look at what she said. If all is well, why am I this way? See, it's a very unusual birth. If I'm okay, what's this movement inside? This is more than movement. Feels like sumo wrestlers inside. Pushing each other through the membrane. And the Lord says, there are two nations in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. There is already a struggle for dominance. And on the day when it was right to give birth, the Bible tells us that there was also a special struggle going on. Because both of them, although they could not probably speak, yet in their fetus language, they are saying, I want to be first, I want to be first, I want to be first. But Esau got first. And as Esau came out, Jacob didn't let go. The membrane broke and he grabbed Esau's ankle. The midwife that day got a surprise. As he pulled out Esau, there comes the brother holding on. Hallelujah. To the lake. I have tried to do a little research in the natural law, reading up on babies, and such a thing has, there's no record. Very extremely rare. Maybe they are, but this is something else. There is a prophecy involved. Finally, when they came out, Esau started well. Notice that he became a very good hunter. He was a man of the wild. In verse 27, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field.
Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. Although, in what we call, in a shadow form or in its representative state, every type and shadow in the Bible is not a perfect thing. Like, although Isaac represents Israel and represents Jesus and Abraham, God the Father, during the sacrifice that Abraham made of Isaac, we know that they were not perfect types, but there are certain things that are prophetic in their act of Isaac sacrificing, being sacrificed by Abraham. Now here, Jacob and Esau represent something. We need to know what they represent. Esau represents the flesh and all the works of the flesh. Jacob represents the spirit and the work of the spirit. So immediately you have the spirit and the flesh fighting. You see that all the time. It began in the first two children. When Adam and Eve have the first two children, their names were Cain and Abel. Cain represents the flesh. Abel, the spirit. The flesh and the spirit wrestle with each other. Then here you have Esau and Jacob. Later on through history, you have King Saul and King David. The house of Saul representing the flesh and the house of David representing the spirit. They are not perfect types. There are certain things in their life they are not to be considered as types. But in a general sense, there they are. And this whole entire story is brought forth here to Obadiah, where we realize in the book of Galatians, another background, Galatians chapter 5, Paul, in the New Testament, under the grace dispensation, in the church age, he declared in chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And then it says, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Then he lists the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And you notice why it says Jacob was a mild man and Esau was a wild man. Because the flesh is wild. With that background, we come to the book of Obadiah and realize that the two brothers in type represent, and the two nations in type represents the work of the flesh and the work of the spirit. Now let's look at the precept and the principle first. Here we have the Edomites representing the flesh and the Israelites representing the spiritual area. Everything falls in line. Look at the book of Obadiah. This is what the flesh says. It always says, in verse 3, it says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Do you notice pride? The self, the flesh. And this struggle is still present in the Christian personal life, which is exemplified in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and chapter 8. Chapter 7, the struggle of flesh and spirit, and the conclusion in chapter 8. So, that struggle of flesh and spirit is still there. When Jesus Christ came to the scene, Jesus and his disciples, although sometimes they don't quite behave like disciples, generally they're supposed to be like him. represents the work of the Spirit. Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the wooden seas. And the couldn't see. And the mustn't see. And the cannot see. All these seas, Silo. All these Pharisees and the Sadducees represent the works of the flesh, which can be religious, which can be strong. And Jesus, in the gospel, in his woes to the Pharisees, he mentioned about how they have a kind of haughtiness. They rob widows' houses. They follow the traditions, but not the word of God. Jesus came after them. See, that battle continues. And as the last day draw near, the Bible says, the Spirit will come upon the flesh. And what happens in the last days is that God wants to harness and put a yoke on our flesh so that our flesh will serve the Spirit and not vice versa. The flesh wants to dominate the Spirit, but the Spirit must subdue the flesh. And you can be so full of the Spirit until there's no room for the flesh. The secret is to learn how to be filled with the Spirit every day. Don't ever walk out of your house without being filled with the Spirit. Don't ever walk out of your house without knowing that fullness of the Spirit on you. Because the only way to put the flesh under is to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So all these are the works of the flesh. Now how does, and you notice a lot of other things that are listed there. Right up to verse 16, all those things that they did. Now let's look at the actual things that they did. The Edomites were very, very cruel. Here are some of the things that they did. I mean, verse 10, they were violent. In verse 10, they were violent against their brother Jacob. How were they violent? When other people were attacking the Israelites, in verse 11, in the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were one of them. In fact, Esau could easily have been like Cain and killed Abel and said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes, he is. God expects him to be his brother's keeper. Here, Esau was again supposed to be his brother's keeper, but Esau ended up his brother's murderer. He helped in the destruction of Jerusalem, the Edomites. In fact, in Psalms 137, verse 7, when Jerusalem was being destroyed, the Edomites said, destroy! They give encouragement. Destroy! Come on, raise it! Raise it! Completely raise it to the ground. Completely burn it to the ground. They were giving encouragement. Psalms 137 verse 7. And the book of Psalms says, remember Lord what the Edomites did. And how even they as a brother say all these things. May we learn that lesson. Many times in the body of Christ, and we call ourselves the body of Christ, we call ourselves the family of God. Although we may not like to think of it this way, we need to grow in our concept of the body. Sometimes we think of the body of Christ only within our local church. Good enough, but not the best. Then we grow to think about all the different